Our next speaker brings public power experience and public broadband experience. Larry Dunbar is with us. Larry, come on up. And as you see, he is an expert on electricity, gas, telecommunications, IT services, cable TV. He's been in the utility industry for many years in the Northwest since 1982. He not only has a Washington State University degree in business, but also an energy management degree. He's on the board of the Northwest Public Power Association and also National Association of Telecommunication Officers and Advisors. Larry comes to us today from his service with the city of Ellensburg, and he's also worked with other cities our size or smaller or larger in Washington. Larry, tell us about what you've come to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Well, as I wait for the presentation to come up, I do work for the city of Ellensburg, and our attorney at Ellensburg had me tell you that my views that I share with you today are my views, not the city of Ellensburg's views. I no longer work for the city of Port Angeles, and my attorney told me to make sure I point that out too, that any information I share about Port Angeles has not been seen by Port Angeles. I'm a former Boy Scout, so, and a Boy Scout leader, so everything I tell you today is going to be my honest truth, okay? So I speak from facts. I'm more of a technical kind of guy. I wanted to share this slide at the beginning because throughout my career in life, I've been motivated to do the right thing. And I think that's the question that's before you today here, is what's the right thing to do for Bainbridge Island? I was contacted by Barry asking me to come out here and provide this presentation, and I had to do some primary research on my own, and I contacted some friends that I knew about your situation. So some of the things I'm going to share with you today you've already heard, and some of the things you haven't heard and you're not going to like to hear, but it's, I believe, at least for myself, it's a fact. So let's go ahead. There's five different things that I'm going to provide to you today about the benefits of a public utility. And I'm not going to go through these individually on here, but my next slide will go through that. So let's go ahead and go ahead. So nonprofit rates. One thing that I think that we all can relate to is what is an essential utility service? I think we'd all agree that electricity is, water is, sewer is. I'm going to present today later that I think broadband is too. And the question is, should these essential services, the services that you have to have a modern society and eventually a community that can compete globally, should these things be for profit or should they be for nonprofit? Now, in my utility business, the reason why we exist is to serve our customers in the most efficient and effective manner possible at the least responsible cost. Every employee that I hire, on the first day that they come to work, I tell them the only reason we're here is to serve our customers. That's it. That's why we're there. We're not there to take a profit and reap from that. It's just to serve the customer. That's why we're there. Steve shared this information before, but I just wanted to add in Ellensburg. Ellensburg is about 40% less than what you're paying here on the island to PSC, and Port Angeles about 20%. Let's go on. If you form the Bainbridge Electric Board, the customers that it serves will be the owners of that company. You have complete control. You would elect the people that would serve on the board, and if they weren't doing the things you wanted them to do, you could elect them out by putting someone else on there. Municipal utilities provide excellent customer service. And if they don't, you can go down to City Hall or wherever the utilities building is. You can see someone face-to-face. You don't have to call a 1-800 number. So it's exceptional customer service. And that's what most of us strive to provide. All of the staff live in the community that they serve. For many of our engineers and linemen, we have a residency requirement. They have to live within 20 minutes so that they can actually report to work in an event of an outage or an emergency. with reliability, Steve talked about Safey and Sadie. The statistics for Ellensburg are here, and it's essentially less than one customer on average, less than one customer outage is our typical average in Ellensburg. And it's less than one hour of an outage in a year. I have the opposite concern for my customers that you do. I'm worried that if we ever do have an outage that lasts very long, that people won't be prepared for it. So we send them flyers out before winter just in case things, fall off the apple cart. Now, there's things that need to be done on the island here with your system. You have single points of failure in your sub-transmission system that need to be overcome. You need to loop your substations, and then over a long period of time, you need to start undergrounding your utilities. Your substations, I understand, are essentially at capacity. You have three substations on the island, and they're nearing peak of their load. You cannot have a substation transformer failure. If you have a substation transformer failure, you've got a big problem. You can't serve the load without all three substations in place. Over time, you're going to need to add a substation. When I talk about N plus one stations, substations, that means from an engineering reliability point of view, you have to have one more substation than you need so that you can actually take a substation out of service and do maintenance. Transformers require maintenance, and I've learned this lesson the hard way. Over the last 3 years, we've been building a substation in Ellensburg because we didn't have an extra substation. And last winter, right before winter, we had a bird strike. A bird hit our transformer and took out one-third of our customers for almost a day. And it was just a good reminder that, bad things happen, and we need to, from an engineering point of view, we have to plan for that. That's why, you have a problem here, I'm afraid to say. There's a commitment to the community through municipalization. We serve our customers in partnership with the city and other public agencies. It's just the way we do business. Public power is part of a national theme. We don't typically compete from one service area to another for our customers. Whoever can serve the customer in the most efficient and effective manner or at the lowest possible cost should serve those customers, and we work together. A public utility will locally develop policies and programs that are responsive to your needs, such as, I understand you're interested in renewable energy. And I know why, because your current provider is dirty. It's a dirty utility. You need to do more things regarding energy efficiency, and you need to put your facilities underground. And I think we all understand that going from overhead to underground is going to cost 2 to 3 times more. It's a cost issue, but what's the right thing to do here? When you look at, what's happening today compared to what should happen with a local utility, is that about 40% of the revenues from a public utility actually stay in the community they serve. I'm going to contradict Steve a little bit, but I'd estimate that the total revenues that would exist if you did go with Bonneville would be more like $27 million here. So, and about half of that would be for purchase power, or $13.5 million. Ellensburg is smaller, but you can see for Ellensburg how this runs down. There's a significant personnel. We have electrical engineers. We've got linemen. They're high-paid people, and they should be. They're in a very demanding career. And there's other things where you invest in energy efficiency. And then there's a lot of capital improvements that are made with funding from the current rates. We don't typically borrow much to make improvements to our systems. Go ahead. So the question is, should you municipalize this electric utility? This is another one of my dry senses of humor, but there's this tree here with the low-hanging fruit. Your community is low-hanging fruit. That's what it is. You're an urban utility. You're a profit center for PSC. PSC serves, urban and rural, and the customers per mile where they serve in rural are being, in a sense, subsidized by you. they don't want you to go. It just makes sense. I mean, I've worked for four different utilities, three of them being urban utilities, and my friends in, you know, PUDs that serve large geographic areas. It's like, gosh, it's just, why are your rates so low? You know, well, it's because we've got all these customers in a dense area. My service area right now is less than seven square miles, and we have 10,000 accounts in 7 square miles. We can do that really efficiently. Okay, I'll finish it faster. Okay, so my estimate is you're going to have to double your wholesale power costs if you want to become 100% renewable. Let's go to the next one. That would be a 50% wholesale cost increase is what that would turn out to be. Steve said that if you go with Bonneville, that'd be 97% renewable. For Ellensburg, we're going to likely be making decisions later this year to further expand our renewable energy park. And for us to become 100% renewable, we estimate it's going to be under a 5% rate impact. You would be in the same situation. This is just a picture of our renewable energy park. It's right off of Interstate 90, if you've ever passed through town. Go ahead. Well, at this point, this is a slide I showed our city council because I just want to make sure they were paying attention. It's like they weren't asleep again on me. But what I'm about to talk about is telecommunications, and I'm afraid I'll speed it up. Okay. With telecommunications, Ellensburg, like Port Angeles, serves public agencies, and we've developed a fiber optic backbone to do that. The biggest challenge in telecommunications is it's a competitive landscape, and the challenge is paying for those facilities. And let's go to the next one. Is it really a field of dreams? You know, you got to be real careful with this. Unless you've got a big chest of money that you can spend on telecommunications, building fiber optics to people's homes and businesses is a big gamble. Now, in electric business, water business, it's a monopoly. Telecommunications, you can engage in competition on wholesale level, facility level, retail level, and our customers are very cost conscious. In Ellensburg, what we tried to focus on is a no regrets investment strategy where we have a low risk but high benefit. We built a fiber optic backbone ring, 27 miles of fiber optics in a city that's 7 square miles. You know, you can imagine how much fiber we've got. We're designing right now a wireless network that would ride on top of that network to serve the public. And in phase two, we're going to start marketing what we have. We're not marketing right now, but we will eventually. What you don't want to do, what we're not doing in Ellensburg is what we consider a big bet, and that's, you know, borrowing a trunk load of money and building fiber to every home and business without any guarantee of anyone paying the monthly bill. Okay. Now, I know we're on an island, but with telecommunications, it can't be an island. You've got to communicate with others. In Ellensburg and in Port Angeles, that's been primarily through the Northwest Open Access Network. In Ellensburg, we've signed a contract with NOAANet. They provide wholesale internet access to the city. They have a point of presence right there in Ellensburg. We've built redundant fiber optic facilities to their facility, and they have redundant fiber optic facilities to two internet exchanges. So we enjoy, you know, a very high level of reliability. And together, NOAANet in the city is providing 2 gigabits per second of internet access to the college. And the city just most recently purchased 1 gigabit from NOAANet to provide, we're going to resell it to our own customers is what we're doing, public agencies being the first customers we're going to serve. So in conclusion here, what's the right thing to do? This is what I think it is. If you do become a public power utility, you'll be joining a group of other public power utilities that number over 2,000 across the nation. You won't be alone. And you're not going to be the only ones. You'll have a big family to fall back on, a lot of people to call upon. Electrical system reliability is your top priority. It's important now, and as we move forward into the future, it's going to become even more important, especially like when the power's out, guess what? You probably won't be able to use your computers. telecommuting employees are going to become much more common as we start competing more so globally, even here in Bainbridge Island. You need to start here an aggressive tree trimming program. In Ellensburg, we trim all of our trees that are in our power lines once every 3 years. We spend almost $100,000 a year on tree trimming. It's a sizable expense. We make some people upset. We take some trees out. We buy new trees for people that won't grow into the power lines. It's just what has to happen if you're going to be overhead. In the long term, you need to loop your substations. You're going to have to build another substation. There's things that you can do to delay that next substation, but eventually you're going to have to build that next substation. And then eventually you should work on undergrounding those facilities. That's going to take a long time because it's going to cost a lot of money. I think that you can become 100% renewable and carbon free if you go the municipalization way and buy your power from Bonneville. It's within reach. You'll enjoy a significant difference in cost and rates. And I think through your local Kitsap PUD and NOAANet, there's a wonderful partnership option that's knocking on your door that would eliminate the city or the Bainbridge Electric Board from having to make that investment themselves. When I talk to my kids, I've got 3 kids, they're all millennials, and they're also very interested in doing the right thing. They all supported me in what my concluding statements are today. Please consider them. I have nothing to gain from making these recommendations to you today. So, thank you.
Thank you, Larry Dunbar, for that wonderful statement of integrity.